You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Everybody, welcome to a new post-game episode of Locked On Rockets, your home for daily podcast coverage of the Houston Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose. And well, the Rockets, after their first three-game losing streak of the season, it's officially no more. The Rockets snapped it with a 123-116 win in Phoenix on Sunday night, the first sweep of the Suns in a regular season in franchise history, and they did it without James Harden and Trevor Ariza. Harden sat out with the flu. Ariza had a personal issue. How much of that is legitimate? I don't know. I don't think that they would completely make it up, but quite frankly, it doesn't matter. Those are two guys, as I said after Friday night's game in Golden State, that seemed to be running on fumes a bit, and whether it was truly rest, whether it was honestly the flu and personal issue, it doesn't matter. Bottom line, they got the rest, and the Rockets got the game anyway. I'm not going to sit here and brag about the game because the Suns are not a good team. They're, quite frankly, almost trying to lose games to basically save their draft pick, but the Rockets, they got it done, 123-116 in Phoenix, and they did it with guys like Troy Williams, someone who hadn't really played a single meaningful minute in Houston, playing key roles. Troy actually led the team with 21 points, 7 of 12 shooting in his 39 minutes, which were a team high. I'll get to him in a minute because the fortunes of Troy are kind of intertwined with Sam Decker, who unfortunately left with a broken hand, but I want to start this podcast, besides talking about the rest, also, let's give some credit to Pat Beverly. This game was defined by Pat. 26 points, 9 assists, 8 rebounds, 11 of 19 shooting, 4 of 9 from 3. It's easy to forget about Pat because he slides into his role as a secondary option so well. He's happy to be the Mr. 94 feet, the defender. But we've seen from time to time, he has the ability to create. He has the ability to be a scorer. Now, if he did it on a regular basis against truly top-notch NBA competition, he'd probably be a little bit inefficient. So thankfully, Pat recognizes his limitations and is willing to play within the team concept. But when the Rockets need him more, and against a Phoenix team that, well, let's be honest, is not a good defensive team, and with James Harden and Trevor Ariza out, somebody needed to take those shots, someone needed to be a focal point, and Pat Beverly and Eric Gordon, well, they did it. Beverly was 11 of 19, Gordon was 9 of 24, had 22 points. The starting backcourt, Beverly and Gordon, had 48 points between them on 20 of 43 shooting, 6 of 17 from behind the arc. Throw in Lou Williams off the bench, who had 23 points on 7 of 14 shooting. Those are your three veterans, Pat Beverly, Eric Gordon, Lou Williams, who combined had 71 points. So in a game like this, with no James Harden, you wonder who's going to step up, who's going to shoulder the scoring burden, because someone's got to put the ball in the basket. And while the Rockets veterans did that, I don't think the Rockets had to win this game. They're pretty much locked into the 3 seed regardless, although with the win tonight, their magic number is down to 1. So it'll be very soon, possibly as early as Tuesday night when the Jazz play the Portland Trailblazers, if not then Wednesday night when the Rockets are back in action against the Pistons, the Rockets should officially clinch this 3 seed very soon. But regardless, even without a lot to play for, because they're going to have that 3 seed, even if they had lost the game to Phoenix. The Rockets, they're a veteran team. They have a lot of pride. They hadn't lost 3 straight games all year long. And, well, I've said it all week, there are justifiable reasons for it. It was a brutal schedule, 2 of the 3 against Golden State, the other against Portland on the road. Obviously, a lot of the Rockets, most notably James Harden and Trevor Ariza, running on fumes. But regardless, this is a team with a strong winning culture. They didn't want to lose a lot of games in a row. And, well, they snapped that losing streak. They went out and got a win, 123-116 over the Suns, and those veteran threes, now they did hit a lot of threes, but those are the biggest factors because, well, the Suns, they don't have a good defensive backcourt, they don't have a good defensive team in general, and the guards went out and scored the requisite points, so it was going to be very difficult for the Suns to win this game. Now, beyond that, the revelation in this was Troy Williams, because going into Sunday, we didn't even know that he was going to play. The Rockets clearly did because, well, they got both Troy and Isaiah Taylor. Isaiah played 15 minutes off the bench. Troy started and played 39 minutes, which was a team high. Both those guys got on a 7:30 a.m. flight in Des Moines flew to Phoenix, landed at 9 a.m. Hopefully they got a nap in the afternoon. They made it just in time for the shoot around. And Troy started, played 39 minutes, even after, shoot, probably waking up at like 5 a.m. Phoenix time. And he played really, really well. This was a game he shot 6 of 9 from 3. He played good defense against Devin Booker. For all the crap we give the Suns, Devin Booker's a really good player. And with Troy Williams largely being the guy defending, Devin Booker was just 7 of 22 tonight, 1 of 6 from 3. Very inefficient. So this was a game, Troy Williams, this was not a KJ McDaniels performance at all. Everything looked smooth. Yes, it helped that he made his shots. It always helps if somebody shoots 6 of 9 from 3. But I thought Troy passed the ball well. He had 3 assists. I thought he had some really impressive rebounds, 5 rebounds. He got up really high. Everything just seemed really smooth and in the flow of the offense. Quite frankly, it looked like a guy, as I said before, that had started 13 times, played 24 games on another Western Conference playoff team in Memphis. This was not someone green. This was not KJ McDaniels going from the worst team in the world, the Philadelphia 76ers, well, the NBA world, to the Houston Rockets, a contender. This was a guy who was comfortable in his own skin, playing on a contender. He went out there, he made his shots, that was great. Most nights, he's not going to make those shots. He's not going to be 21 points on 66% shooting from three. He may not lead the team with plus 11. Well, actually, Pat Beverly was plus 14 in plus minus, but Troy was close behind him. He's not going to shoot that well every night. But bottom line, he did some things that looked very, very comfortable and very repeatable. And that's great because, well, the downside to this game, Sam Decker broke his hand in awkward collision with about 4 minutes to go. They haven't officially released a timetable. He's going to be seen by a specialist in Houston on Monday. But I think it's safe to say his season is over. Now, in terms of an actual timetable, it depends on the complexity. It could be as short as really 4 weeks. A fairly simple fracture. That's what happened to Omri Caspi in New Orleans when the Rockets played there right after the trade deadline. He was back in less than a month and ready to play. Other fractures can, of course, take a little bit more time than that. But the bottom line, even if it's a simple fracture for Sam, this is someone who had seen his playing time cut to about 5 to 10 minutes per game in several games recently. For him to truly be effective in Mike D'Antoni's system, he needs to be able to hit the three. He hasn't consistently hit from behind the arc in a while. Tonight, he was actually 0 of 0 in his 19 minutes. Didn't really seem comfortable shooting from behind the arc. So really, it's an unfortunate loss because Sam's a great guy, and he's had some high points this season. However, no, I don't really think it's that much of a loss in terms of the Rockets' playoff rotation because, well, when the Rockets played really good teams recently, I go back to that Cleveland game, San Antonio, Decker did not really have that much of a role to begin with. And now you have someone like Troy Williams stepping up. It's easy to see that, well, against a lot of teams, Troy Williams can take those minutes that Sam Decker played. Is he going to be better? I wouldn't say that because, as Troy admitted after the game, he doesn't know how to play. Sam Decker is a seamless system fit. He's been working with them since training camp. He's had a very quality rookie season, very smart. I'm not going to sit here and diminish his loss, especially compared to Troy Williams, someone who's basically a relative newbie at the NBA level without much knowledge of the system. I don't think Troy's necessarily going to be an upgrade. However, Sam Decker, his minutes, I would say while they haven't been terrible, they've been replaceable by even a fringe NBA rotation player. And if it's not Troy Williams, the Rockets could still potentially go after another 3 or 4. You could see them cut Bobby Brown and go after another forward if they feel they need it. Or they could experiment, as they did tonight, with Montrezl Harrell at the 4 spot. Now, Harrell was 0 of 3 from behind the arc, unfortunately. The Rockets, privately, they're pretty encouraged by what they've seen from Montrezl in practice. He's made a lot of threes this year. He's worked on his shot. Unfortunately, sample size of one game. He didn't make them Sunday night. Did finish pretty well in traffic, I thought. He moved well without the ball. Also did some things off the dribble that were fairly encouraging. Drew a couple of fouls, which kind of surprised me. But those are the options. Troy, Montrezl Harrell. Troy's obviously going to get the first crack at the minutes. He's very athletic. He's very long. He can certainly hit the three. Made 6 of 9 Sunday night. Can make some of those athletic plays that Sam did in transition. The question is, can Troy guard fours? Now, the good thing, the way the league is going, it's not like there are that many big bruising fours off the bench anyway. So it's going to depend on the matchup as to whether that's even an issue at all. If it is, maybe the Rockets turn to Montrezl Harrell as a four. Maybe they can once again look at the international market any free agents that are still out there. It's unfortunate because I like Sam. He's had a good rookie season. But big picture, I don't think it's going to be that big of an issue because against most teams, especially if it's an up-tempo athletic team that wants to play fast off the bench, which it seems like almost every team in the Western Conference wants to do these days, Troy Williams is perfectly fine. He's long enough to play some of those minutes, and I think the Rockets can hold out just fine. As far as Sam Dekker, it's a little bit of a setback because big picture, I feel like this is an important offseason for him. He had a lot of key moments as a rookie, especially the first 2 months of the year where you could say, wow, this guy looks like a borderline starter. But to get there, he absolutely needs to become at least an average NBA shooter, if not a little bit more. So the question for Sam is going to be, can he put in the requisite work on his jump shot in the offseason? The good news is that, well, unless it's a really complex fracture, we don't know yet. Again, he's going to be seen by a specialist in Houston on Monday. But really, unless it's that complex, a broken hand, typically 4 to 6 weeks, and he should be good to go. Maybe it'd be a little bit dicey if he was playing NBA contact, but in terms of getting up his shots in the offseason, I think by June at the latest, he'll be ready to get up his 500 shots, 1,000 shots a day, whatever the Rockets want him to do. And really, you know, there's a lot to be bullish on him moving forward, because if he can even develop an average NBA jump shot, he has enough of an understanding of the game, enough energy at the four spot to be a really good rotation player. Long term, I'm really bullish on him based on what we've seen this year, but in terms of the next month or so, I really don't think it's that much of a loss, because once the Rockets really tighten that rotation to the playoffs against good teams, I highly doubt he would have played more than 5 or 10 minutes per game anyway. And in terms of those 5 to 10 minutes per game, I think it's very possible that Troy Williams or someone else is able to fill those minutes without it being a particularly huge drop-off for the Rockets. I feel bad for Sam because he's a good guy, but in terms of his long-term career or the playoffs for this particular Rockets team, I don't think, unless it's a much more complex injury than we know right now, I would not worry that much about it. I think he'll be able to do 95% of the work we plan on him doing this offseason. And as far as the playoffs, as I've been saying, I really don't think it's going to be that big of a situation. Now, I know some folks are going to point out that, well, if it's one of those really minor fractures like Omri Caspian, he can come back in 4 weeks. Well, 4 weeks from now is right around May 1st. Why couldn't he rejoin the playoff rotation? Theoretically, he could. It's not impossible because the Rockets, they clearly plan on getting at least to the Western Conference Finals. They have the potential to do that, which would have them playing into late May. In theory, he's going to have to do that. However, in my opinion, the reality of it, he's not so good that if the Rockets, they win their first-round series with Troy Williams or whoever it is playing those minutes, I don't see Sam Dekker being the type of guy that you just throw back having not played in a month and say, you know what, we know he's going to be that guy, because this is someone who Mike D'Antoni kind of cut, as I said, to 5 to 10, 15 at the most in really important games recently. So I really don't see the Rockets, even if he were physically cleared, pushing him back into the rotation at this particular point in time. I think it's going to be Troy Williams. And, well, I had a plan going into the podcast even before the Dekker injury. I was going to point out examples that's really not unprecedented for someone like Troy Williams to enter the rotation at this point in the year. We saw it with Clint Capella 2 years ago. We actually saw it with Troy Daniels 3 years ago, ended up hitting a game-winning shot for the Rockets in the playoffs against Portland. So it's not unprecedented, even in April, for guys to take small roles and be contributors to playoff teams, even playoff teams that win. So I would not worry too much about it. I would be sad for Sam because he's a really good guy. He's worked hard. It sucks to see anyone get hurt. But big picture, I don't think this materially changes the playoff outlook for the Rockets in any meaningful way. Beyond that, the rest factor, Beverly Gordon, Lou, and then the, you know, Troy versus Sam. Other thoughts from tonight. Again, not a lot to take. 123-116. Suns not a good team. Downside, Clint Capella. He struggled Friday in Golden State. I talked about that. This was, again, not a great night for him. I guess we want to look for a positive. He did, again, have 12 rebounds in 25 minutes. That's coming off 14 in Golden State. So he's more aggressively playing the glass. That's good to see. However, he was 4 of 11 from the field. Again, well under 50% shooting. Got stripped going up far, far too easily. Had 4 turnovers. So that's a little bit unfortunate. The upside is that, well, Nene off the bench, 17 and 5, 7 of 11 shooting in his 23 minutes, was a plus 12. So Clint, you know, if you want to hear my thoughts on him, listen to the, well, Friday night, Saturday morning show, the postgame of the Warriors. We know about his limitations, the trust factor with the Rockets. The good news of the Rockets, when they're in the playoffs and the games are spaced out, they do have another option in Nene that clearly Mike D'Antoni does trust more. And you could see Sunday night that even though Clint kind of struggled in this matchup against the Athletic Suns, kind of a pesky team that was swatting every time he seemed to go up, trying to strip him, well, Nene was a good option, and the Rockets were able to make it work. And while there's also Montrezl Harrell, maybe if the Rockets had their full cast of characters, which would mean Trevor Ariza and Ryan Anderson playing at the four, you also have Montrezl Harrell at center. It's unfortunate for Clint that we know what the issues are. The good news is that when Nene is healthy, at least you have another option that you can turn to down the stretch of games to hopefully mitigate that impact, especially when it comes to winning time in meaningful games. Anyway, I will leave it right there because I don't want to go on and on with this podcast reality. Suns, just not a good team. Now what, 22-56 on the year. They're in full tank mode. The Rockets are 52-25. It's a good chance they can get to 55 wins. They need to go at least 3-2 down the stretch of the year to get there. That'd be nice. It's a nice benchmark number. The big picture, the Rockets are the 3 seed in the West regardless. They beat a team in Phoenix that's not very good, so let's not really make a big deal about the team in terms of what this means. Really, everything we learned tonight night is about the individuals. Nice to see Pat Beverly step up. Eric Gordon, didn't really talk about that too much about him because 9 of 24, he wasn't that efficient. However, I did think he looked pretty spry. In addition to his 22 points, had 6 rebounds, 5 assists. I thought he was making some plays off the dribble, had a little more explosion. I thought that was nice to see a couple weeks before the playoffs, to see Eric looking as healthy as he has in a while, coming off the injuries he had in January and February with the defeat at his back. So that was encouraging, but really, as I said, not really that much team to discuss tonight. Mostly the individuals, the veteran guards, they did their thing, and then Troy Williams stepped up. That's great to see, and well, hopefully he continues to do that, because with Sam Decker out, there's a clear rotation role for Troy Williams to step into in place of Sam Decker as soon as this Wednesday when the Rockets return home to play the Denver Nuggets. Excuse me, I think I said earlier that they were playing Detroit in the next game. They're actually playing Detroit on Friday. The Nuggets are next up. It's Nuggets Wednesday, Detroit Friday. Excuse me for kind of mixing them together because it feels like the Rockets are playing out the string. None of these games matter that much. They're locked into the 3 seed. But regardless, it's a good opportunity to see individual players step up. Troy Williams certainly did that tonight in Phoenix, and hopefully he will do that later this week when the Rockets return to Houston. And of course, when they do that, we'll be here at Locked On Rockets to break down everything for you because, well, we're your home for daily podcast coverage of the Houston Rockets. If you want to follow us on Twitter, you can do that at Locked On Rockets. If you want to follow me on Twitter, do that at Ben Dubose. Also, don't hesitate to email us, lockedonrockets@gmail.com. Any questions, inquiries, suggestions, anything we can do to make this a better day-to-day show for you, the Rockets fan. Anyway, we will wrap it there. Once again, very happy final from Phoenix. Rockets 123, Suns 116. The 3-game losing streak has now been snapped. Rockets return home, get a couple of days off, back in action Wednesday night against the Nuggets, and we will be talking with you again then, both here on Locked On Rockets and on Twitter. For now, have a good night.